I hope that you are being blessed and enjoying this study of the One Word booklet as much as our family is. It's been a great blessing for us to be able to think about a word each week and to be able to read devotionals with it. And it's just good to have that consistency and that thought around some of these really basic, simple terms that make so much difference to our faith and to our life. Our family is able to read those together, and it's been good to experience those with our children, and I would encourage your family to do the same. It was a pretty famous country song several years back. Though my wife said she didn't remember it. It's the song by Mac Davis, which was kind of a little bit humorous, sarcastic song. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Well, you know, it's hard to be humble, isn't it? That song kind of made fun of that idea, and the life of a famous star and all. But it is hard for the rest of us to be humble too. It's hard to be humble. And this week our word is that very important word, humility. And so as we think about what does it mean to be humble, the term humility is not self-hatred or condescending in nature toward ourselves, but rather it's a state of gratitude that responds to others in a loving way. It is that I am thankful for all that I have had, all that I've been blessed with. So I then turn to others and respond to them in a way that's loving, in a way that's considerate and kind, a way that is willing to serve them. It's an attitude of service and gratefulness. It involves inward submissiveness to God and to others. And it involves a modesty of self-perception. You're modest about who you are and what you mean to others and to God. And so humility, as Jesus would talk about, involves true greatness. And that the greatest of all is the servant of all. And Jesus, when He came to this earth, He was a great servant, and He demonstrated greater than anybody else what it means to be humble. This morning I want us to think about why we have trouble being humble and why it's hard to be humble. I want to share with you six reasons of why it's hard to be humble. And all of these have the motivation of encouraging us to be humble. Number one, it's hard to be humble because our culture rejects humility. Our culture says that this world is about power and greed. It's about you making sure you get first place and about getting all you can. And if you have to run over a few people, if you have to put others down, if you have to maybe cheat a little bit or whatever it takes to get up, that's what you've got to do. Because the world says winning and achieving and success are the most important things. And so the culture pushes against humility, pushes against the idea of being the lowly servant. In Micah chapter 6 verse 8, God is speaking to the children of Israel. And He says, "Has He told you, O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Notice that this goes right against what the children of Israel were doing. And Micah is condemning them in that letter for their attitude, because their actions could best be described as profiteering, interested solely in money, about living unmercifully and walking or behaving arrogantly. So God says, look, it's not that complicated, Judah, that you're really messing all this up, that you're focused on greed and money, and you're focused on selfishness and being unkind to others and unmerciful is what is causing me to be upset with you, says God. What I want you to do is very simple. I want you to do justice. Think about fairness and equality and justice. To love kindness and to walk humbly. To be humble before God submissive and obedient to my will. You see, our culture rejects humility, but Christians should lead the way in humility. You know, we as a culture even understand this is important. Several years ago, there was the popular series that did pretty well, and it went through several seasons, Undercover Boss. And it kind of does this theme of taking this CEO or this boss and putting him or her in a servant type position where they are undercover in the workforce. And some of that, I know, was probably staged, and they picked certain people they really wanted them to get connected with. But it overall had a great message, one that came through of humility and service and understanding one another. Dave Thomas, who's now deceased, the founder of Wendy's, talked about in his book that at Wendy's they tried to emphasize earning and having your MBA. But it's not the Master of Business Administration. But at Wendy's, in their corporate material and things, they talked about an MBA being a mop bucket attitude. You see, Dave Thomas never graduated from high school, but he said he got his MBA before he ever got his GED. And he started out being a servant, working, cleaning dishes and doing those types of jobs with an apron on and a mop bucket in hand. And he wanted to keep that same attitude through his corporation and through his business. And he thought that mop bucket attitude represented all that he wanted Wendy's to emphasize: cleanliness, quality food, and an attitude of service. You see, we need to have a mop bucket attitude, even though it goes against what our culture says in so many ways. It's hard to be humble because our culture rejects humility. But number two, it's hard to be humble because we are prideful to our core. In our very nature, in our essence, because of who we are, the greatest sin that we struggle with is pride. We struggle with the sin of pride, and it's significant to know that Satan uses this sin against us. In James chapter 1, the Bible would talk about how we fall into sin. And in James 1, 13 through 15, let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But listen to this. Each person is tempted when he is lured or enticed by his own desire. In 1 John chapter 2, 16, it talks about the pride of life. And Adam and Eve are going to struggle and enter into sin in the garden because of pride. Because Satan said, you know, God is keeping some things from you, and you deserve this. And isn't that the same temptation that Satan uses today? You deserve this. You deserve more. You deserve to be happy. This is what you are entitled to. It's hard to be humble because we're prideful. We're prideful. We're prideful about in who we are, our achievements, what we have done. We're prideful in our family. We're prideful in our race. We're prideful in our nationality. We're prideful in our money. We're prideful people. We think about one of the great examples in the Bible of Jonah, who could not even extend salvation to the wicked Ninevites and go and preach a sermon where he would have complete an utter response to it, because he was prideful and had hatred in his heart toward them. It's hard to be humble because we're prideful. And the opposite of humility is pride. Pride goes before destruction, Proverbs says. And so we have to learn to get rid of our pride so we can be humble. Number three, it's hard to be humble because we compare ourselves to others. It's just what we do, isn't it? I mean, let's just be honest. We start out from a young age comparing ourselves to others. I'm taller than them. I'm shorter than them. I look different than them. I've got the same jacket as they got. I've got the same shoes they got. I want the same shoes that they have. We compare ourselves to others, don't we? And it just gets different. We change from shoes and jackets to cars and houses. We compare ourselves to others. And it's not just financial things. We compare ourselves to others when it comes to our morality. Well, I'm not near as bad as they are. I attend church every week. They hadn't been to church since last Christmas, but I'm there every week. See, we compare ourselves to others. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, about this topic, something very important. He says, we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Paul says if you live with a tape measure in your hand and you're always evaluating who you are based upon finding someone else that either measures up or doesn't measure up to you, then you're going to live a miserable life. But here's the thing. It's hard to be humble because we can always find plenty of people who in our estimation are doing far worse in their life, their faith, however you want to put that, than we are. It's hard to be humble because we look around and we think, like the Pharisee did in Luke 18, I'm thankful, God, that I'm not like that publican. Look in Luke 18, where he says at verse number 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee. And look at verse number 11. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, thus, God, I thank you. I thank you that I am not like other men. How arrogant is that? To enter into prayer before the holy God of this world and say, God, I'm thankful you didn't make me like them. Notice what the Pharisee does. He says, these other people, they're extortioners. They're unjust. They're adulterers. Even like that old tax collector over there. You see, I fast twice a week. I give my tithes to the church. I give all those tithes. See what the Pharisee is doing? He's comparing himself to others. The publican or the tax collector, Jesus says, he goes down and he falls down and he beats his breast and he falls down before the temple there and he prays. He prays, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It is so easy for you and I mean, preachers can be bad at it. Bankers can be bad at it. Teachers can be bad at it. We are looking to pull ourselves up by judging someone else. And we also put ourselves down when we look around at everybody else too. We do one or two things. We either find people we're worse than or people we're better than. And both of those cause problems. It's hard to be humble when you compare yourself to others. Number four, it's hard to be humble because we are adults and not little children. We're adults. We're set in our ways. We're stubborn. We're not teachable. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 18. He talks about the need to become little children. And he says in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 1, at that time the disciples came and they were arguing about who is the greatest. They were called, and Jesus called to him a child. He put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. For whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What's significant about little children, and why does Jesus say, you adults, you disciples, the people I've been spending 3 years with, the people I've been pouring my heart and soul in, the ones who can understand the Sermon on the Mount, how can I get a little child who doesn't understand the Sermon on the Mount, who doesn't understand all these things about heaven, hell, and money that Jesus has been teaching them, but Jesus says, here's a little child. He hadn't been to Bible class like you have for 30 years. He hadn't read through the Bible. He hadn't graduated from high school or college. But here's a little child. You need to become like a little child. I think what Jesus is saying is, adults, it's hard to be humble because you think you know it all. You're not teachable. You're not trainable. When you think about learning a language, if you were to take on that responsibility of learning Spanish, you were to take, if you have little children in your home, and you were to take yourself and those children and go to a foreign country, who's going to do better learning that language? Now, you can read the books all about it, and you can read a Spanish book and things, but who's going to soak it up more like a sponge? Those little children are. Because they don't have all the baggage of an English language that they're trying to then convert into Spanish. And they don't have all this nervousness and anxiety. Well, somebody's going to think I sound funny and weird and I'm going to embarrass myself. They just plunge into it and they soak it up because they're little kids. And that's how they learn. You know, we're always struggling with toddlers because they want to touch and grab and they want to stick it in their mouth and they want to do everything. Why? Because they're soaking it up. They're learning. It's hard to be humble when you're not teachable, when you're not coachable, when you have all this past knowledge and experience and you think that's right. This is the right way to do it because it worked for me in the past. It's going to work for me again. You're not learnable. You're not teachable. It's hard to be humble when you're an adult and you're not a little child. Notice the next thing, number five, and we have six, remember. It's hard to be humble when you have an unhealthy view of ourselves. When we have an unhealthy view of ourselves, it's significant to note that humility is different than humiliation. Humility is not a false humility that looks at yourself as despised and rejected. In the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar needed to be humiliated because he was arrogant. And so God humiliated him by making him go into the field and spend a year as a beast in the field, maybe 7 years, as a beast in the field. He needed to be humiliated. And then after he was humiliated, he came back and he was humble in his actions before God. You see, sometimes, and this is what James chapter 4 is talking about, sometimes when we are in sin, and we have sinned, we need to be humiliated before God. We need to be humbled before God. We need to be embarrassed. We need to blush, in the language of the Old Testament, for our sins. But we should not live in a state of humiliation. There's some things, you know, if we're in sin, if we commit a sin, we need to be humbled and humiliated for that sin and turn back to God. But that's not what it means to be humble all the time. You see, we have to have a proper or healthy view of ourselves. A humble person is able to have a proper view of themselves so that they can serve others. In John 13, Jesus begins washing the disciples' feet. But before he does this great act of humility, Jesus reports in verses 1 and following, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. Jesus knew who he was. He was secure in who he was. He could take a towel and wash the disciples' feet because he came from God. He was secure in that relationship with God, and he was going back to God. He knew he was the master, so he could get down on his knees and wash the slaves' feet. You see, Jesus understood who he was. And it's so important to know that if it's important and it's hard to be humble in the kind of way of being able to serve others and care for others and minister to others if we have a low view of ourselves. You see, if we have an unhealthy view of ourselves, then we're not able to truly serve and minister to others and be humble like God wants. You see, humility is about gratitude. It's about service. And it's about others. And so if we have a warped view of ourselves before God, then we're not going to be able to be humble as God intends. And number 6, it's hard to be humble when we don't know Jesus. We live in a world where arrogance and pride are so plentiful. And I think one of the key reasons for that is because people don't really know Jesus. And in Luke chapter 4, the story is told about Peter. Peter had been fishing all night, hadn't caught any fish. And the Lord comes and says, put out in the boat, I want to teach from the boat. The Lord teaches from the boat for a little while, and after he teaches from the boat, he then tells Peter, get in and let's go back out and fish. And Peter says, Lord, we fished all night, we didn't catch anything, but at your word, we will listen and go back out. They go back out, you know the story. They caught so many fish, they had to call James and John to come help them gather the fish in. When Peter realizes they had this great catch of fish, he falls down on his knees and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Peter was humbled when he came in contact with Jesus. Another famous man, you probably heard of him, we call him Paul. Paul was an arrogant, he says, insolent, prideful man. He took his hope in his righteousness. Paul says he was blameless, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He says, by the law, I did it perfect. Paul was boasting in his arrogance. And he went up to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he met someone that humiliated him and caused him to live a humble life the rest of his life. He met Jesus. He spent 3 days blind. He spent 3 days praying, fasting, not even eating, because he was so humbled after meeting Jesus. You see, our humility should come from knowing Jesus. And if we don't know Jesus, if we don't really think about his death upon the cross and its significance, you see, Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, God forbid that we should boast in anything except the cross of our Lord. You see, when you look at the cross, when you partake of the Lord's Supper, and you think about Jesus died for me, the Savior, the perfect Son of God, died for my sins. That's humbling, isn't it? It's humbling. It's hard to be humble if you don't know Jesus. This morning, I hope that you've thought about your own humility and that you have wanted to increase your humility toward others so that you can be a better servant of others and a better reflection of God. There's nothing more opposed and does harm to the witness of Jesus than a prideful Christian. Think about that. A prideful, arrogant Christian turns more people off for Jesus than a hypocrite Christian. People can say, well, you know, hypocrite, at least they're struggling with sin. But a prideful, arrogant Christian, think about all the harm they do. May it never be said of you. May it never be said of me that we're prideful in our Christianity. That we're prideful in who we are. Help us to be humble. It's hard to be humble, but it's what God expects from us. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to come, please come as together we stand and as we sing.